Going to the Jew First. This is the Everlasting Nation broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions in Hickson, Tennessee. We've been listening to Dr. Reynolds Showers with a special presentation on the book of Daniel, and today we conclude this series.
God is going to intervene directly and supernaturally in world events against these invading forces, against his people of Israel. The end result is, by the time Antichrist gets up there, these invading forces have already been wiped out. And it's going to be obvious to him, there's something supernatural here, because I'm the only other force that could deal with them, and I didn't fire one man-made weapon at them. Something happened here, very unusual. And I wouldn't be surprised that now this gives him a free hand to do what he wants in the Middle East, because all these other opposing forces have been eliminated. And it may be, this is purely conjecture on my part, he will try to claim that he's the one who caused this destruction supernaturally of these forces. And therefore, in essence, he's going to claim, I'm God. Look at what I was able to do supernaturally without using one man-made weapon. And as a result of that, notice verse 15, he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas, between the Dead Sea and Mediterranean Sea, in the glorious holy mountain, Mount Zion, where Jerusalem is located. Now he comes to Jerusalem. And I take it this is when you come to the exact middle of the 7-year tribulation period. So I take it these other attacks have been in the first half of the tribulation period. But now he comes to Jerusalem, the exact middle of the tribulation period. Now that he has a free hand to do what he wants to do, he takes control of Israel's temple, puts a stop to the sacrifices and offerings, takes his seat in that temple, makes the blasphemous claim that he is God. And I take it, according to Revelation 13, that's when Satan takes possession of this man. And now, instead of being Israel's friend, Satan is going to use him as his tool to try to annihilate the nation of Israel from planet Earth. And that's why in Daniel 9:27, it says he comes, puts a stop to sacrifice and offerings, and then he desolates the people of Israel throughout the second half of the tribulation period. The second half of the tribulation period. Desolates them, trying to eliminate them from planet Earth. And again, in Revelation 13, we're told that once Satan does that with him, gives him 42 more months, we're told that he will go after the saints, people who have gotten saved during the tribulation period, for 3.5 years, for 42 months, to try to eliminate those from the face of the earth who have gotten saved during the 7-year tribulation period. 7-year tribulation period. Let me just take about another 5 minutes to deal with chapter 12, very quickly, of Daniel, the book of Daniel. It says, and at that time, what time? When Antichrist takes his seat in that temple in Jerusalem in the middle of the tribulation period. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which stands for the children of your people. Michael, the archangel, is the exalted angel that God has assigned to the nation of Israel to protect that nation from total annihilation. In this warfare, it goes on between the holy angels and the evil angels, between them. That time, once Antichrist takes his seat there and claims he's God, Michael's going to have to go into all that action because of what Antichrist is going to try to do to the nation of Israel, eliminate them from the face of the earth. He's got to go into action and prevent Israel from being totally annihilated. And he goes on to say here, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. Jesus, Matthew 24, verse 15, says the Jews of that future time, when you see the abomination of desolation, Antichrist, standing in your holy place, your temple, flee as fast as you can to what is said, because then will be such great time, such tremendous time of destruction, the likes of which the world has never seen before, ever will be again. Verse 1 here of Daniel 12 is talking about the second half of the tribulation period that Jesus calls the unparalleled time of trouble in all of world history, once Antichrist takes a seat in that temple. And later on, like when you come up to verses 4 and following, there are three heavenly beings that appear to Daniel And two of them ask one of them, how long will it be to the end of this very unparalleled, unique time, this wondrous time in all of world history? Once that begins, how long is that going to last? And the heavenly being gives two answers. And what the Hebrew says, for one time and two times and a half a time, 3.5 years. Once this begins, when Antichrist takes a seat there, this unparalleled time of trouble in all of world history will last for 3.5 years. 3.5 years. But he gives a second answer too. A second answer as well. And look at verse 7. I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swore by him that lives forever, that this would be for a time, it's one time, and times plural, two times and a half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people. All these things shall be finished. Now the Hebrew language here is talking about a hand that's raised up toward God in rebellion against God. And the literal says, this will last until the hand of my people of Israel are raised up in rebellion against me, is shattered, until I break their stubborn rebellion and finally accept me and my Messiah for who he is. That's what it's going to take. And so God allows the Antichrist to be a chastening instrument against the people of Israel to break, shatter their uplifted hand in rebellion against God and his rule. Then this unparalleled time of trouble will end. And that's when the Messiah is going to come out of earth in his second coming. And if you want to read how all that happens, read sometimes Zechariah 12 through 14. It tells in great detail. All the nations are going to come against Israel and everything by the end of the tribulation period. And again, they're wiping out the Jews. The last two verses of Zechariah 13 say 2/3 of the Jews living in the land that time will perish very quickly. The 1/3 remnant get bottled up in the city of Jerusalem. And then those armies of all the nations of the world, all of them, without exception, come and surround the city of Jerusalem. And they are attacking that city to try to wipe out the 1/3 remnant of Jews left in that city. You know, Jesus, in Matthew 23, when it was obvious that the nation was going to reject him and he was going to be crucified, he made this statement, and notice, he says it to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That was the description of the Messiah for the people of Israel. And Revelation 16, verses 12 through 15, reveals that when the next to the last judgment of the 7-year tribulation period of God is unleashed, next to the last judgment, this is almost the end of the tribulation period, Satan, the Antichrist, the false prophet, are going to send demons, evil angels throughout the world to persuade the rulers of every nation upon planet Earth to bring their combined military might to one location upon planet Earth. And Zechariah 12 through 14 indicates that's the land of Israel. And so Zechariah, God speaking, he says, when the whole world bothers itself with Jerusalem, I'm going to make that city a crushing stone that will crush them when the nation of the world bother themselves with what's to be done with Jerusalem. He says that. But then he's going to say that when those nations come, God says, that's when I'm going to go to war against them when they come. But as they pass over the land of Israel, they're killing the Jews. And so, again, the last two verses of Zechariah 13, 2/3 of the Jews living in the land at that time will perish very quickly. And the 1/3 remnant left get bottled up in that city. Now their back is to the wall. There's not one human power upon planet Earth they can appeal to for help, because the whole world is there with their armies trying to eliminate them totally from the face of the earth. It finally dawns upon them, our only hope of survival is God and his Messiah. They're going to cry out, God, send us your Messiah, the Holy One that comes in your name. That's our only hope of survival. Heaven opens. Zechariah 12, verse 9. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. When they cry for the Messiah, Jesus comes out of heaven with the wounds of the crucifixion and his resurrected body. And they see that. It finally dawns upon them the very one whom their nation rejected this first time was indeed, after all, their true Messiah and Savior. They'll repent. The word repent means a change of mind. They'll radically change their mind from that of rejecting him to gladly accepting him. When they do that, Zechariah 13:1, God opens up a fountain of cleansing to them, washes away their sins. Now, in the opening verse of Zechariah 14, God says he plays a role, too, in bringing those armies against Israel. At the end of the tribulation period, Satan, Antichrist, false prophet, want them there to destroy Israel. But God plays a role in bringing the armies there to break Israel's stubborn rebellion, to shatter that hand of rebellion that they've been lifting up toward God and his Messiah. And it will finally happen. And so once they repent and he cleanses them, then around verse 4 of Zechariah 14, Jesus steps down from heaven on the Mount of Olives and he goes to war against all these godless forces there that have Jerusalem surrounded. It's not a pleasant picture. If you read verses 12 through 15 of Zechariah chapter 14, the wrath of God that Jesus pours out upon these godless forces is horrendous. Horrendous. This is Armageddon. The parallel of that is Revelation 19 in the New Testament, where John records a preview of the second coming of Christ. Jesus comes out of heaven as a warrior to wage war. Well, against whom? Verses 19 and following, Revelation 19, pitted against Jesus are the Antichrist, the false prophet, Satan, the armed forces and leaders of all the nations of the world gathered together in Israel, not only to eliminate Israel, but to wage war against Christ, to try to prevent Jesus from coming back to earth again. And Jesus, by simply stating wrathful words of God, Antichrist will be cast alive into the eternal lake of fire, where he's tormented forever, day and night. The false prophet who led people in the world to worship the Antichrist of God get cast into the eternal lake of fire. Then he destroys all the rulers and armed forces of the nations, rids them from planet Earth altogether. In chapter 20, Satan is bound with a chain, the one that instigated all these things against Israel, and imprisoned in the abyss, the bottomless pit, for 1,000 years. And then Jesus, as the last Adam, restores God's theocratic kingdom to planet Earth. And we're told that he and the tribulation saints who were martyred or died of natural cause during the tribulation period will be resurrected. They'll reign with Christ. Paul in 2 Timothy 2, verse 12, says the church saints, we shall reign with Christ as well for 1,000 years here upon planet Earth. And let me just conclude with this, and then we'll take a look at the questions and everything. God's made it very clear through the Word of God, he will not crush Satan and rid Satan from his rule over the world system that he usurped from Adam with the fall in the Garden of Eden. God will not crush Satan and rid his rule from the world system and restore his theocracy kingdom to the Messiah until the nation of Israel repents of its rebellion against God and accepts Jesus as their Messiah and Savior. It's not the Gentiles that have to do that, not the Samaritans. It's exclusively the people of Israel. Why? Because he's determined that the people of Israel be the spiritual leader of the whole world during Jesus' reign for 1,000 years upon planet Earth. One of the major reasons he brought that nation into existence is he said to them on Mount Sinai, you're to be a kingdom of priests, my witnesses to the world. It's going to take them to go through all those horrible experiences to break that stubborn rebellion. But then they do that. Now they're ready to fulfill throughout the 1,000-year reign of Jesus upon planet Earth, the God-designated plan of being the spiritual leader of the whole world for God's honor and glory.
Thank you for tuning in to this special presentation on the Book of Daniel as taught by Dr. Randall Showers with the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. You may contact us here at IBJM at 423-876-8150 or go to our website at ibjm.org for more information on this special program. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.